today on the Mike O'Mara Show.
Are you excited about seeing the new Marvel movie? It stars Oscar Santa. It's called Deflecto. And he is a superhero in the Marvel universe.
More like Endgame.
This is what I try to do.
Oh, we've worked together now for nearly 10 years. Yes. I've known you longer than that. But when we started working together and I started to see this, it was the weirdest outlier for me. I said, he's just not that way.
It's hard to understand genius. I get that for you guys. Like, it's just, it's tough.
Not for me.
Oh. And you get
Stop it, Long Butter.
Oh, my God.
Yeah, we used to tell Julia inevitable. Wayne Newton lived under her bed.
God. So she wouldn't go under it?
No, it was just for fun. There was really no strategy behind it, come to think about it. She'd say, Dad, what does he do down there?
I'm doing my show at the Sand. Sweet dreams, Julia.
All grown up with that prom date in the shoes.
All that and more. The Mike O'Mara Show starts now. Mike O'Mara, Radio Entertainment.
Today's episode of The Mike O'Mara Show is brought to you by our bonus packages. Please go to MikeO'MaraShow.com and click on the bonus banner. You'll get access to all of our bonus content, and even better, you'll be helping out TMOS. So please, quit sucking, and we thank you.
Available on demand every day in iTunes and the Google Play Store, and around the world on MikeO'MaraShow.com. What more can we do for you? It's the Mike O'Mara Show.
Anybody ever have this happen? You're up early, you scrub-a-dub-dub, everything's set to go, you've laid out your morning the way it should be, and then it just goes away. And then just one thing leads to another, and then you get out of sorts, and that's what happened to me. So I'm coming in here a little frazzled because I'm a little like behind the curve. I just feel like
sometimes
at the last minute, things went awry.
Sometimes I feel when you have more time, you are more likely to run late.
Yeah, I got a good 7 hours last night, which is what you're supposed to.
Well, you're late no matter what.
Well, that's why I said story of my life.
Yeah, it is the story of your life. But no, your lateness is not like that. Your lateness is...
I was here on time.
It's a deeper issue. Yeah. Yeah, but you're never in the studio on time.
Oh, I actually was. I was closing
the door.
You wait
till you see me on the camera and then you come in.
I was closing the door.
Explain to me
how
he does
it. He likes to make an entrance.
Yes.
Right?
He can't stand sitting still. I do know
that. He can't stand waiting for anyone else. He doesn't mind letting everybody else wait. That's what I think. But I don't see him, so I don't know what he's doing.
I'm doing other things.
Yeah, no. But that when you're in here, we kind of... pre-game
we waited for 17 minutes this morning to get started, and I never ever bitch about that ever do that
to get started. What, with the 9 o'clock start,
with the 8 o'clock start that we all agreed on today? So for you to come in here and say, what are you doing during your time?
No,
it's a little the point
is you never like to be sitting and waiting for someone else. Is that true or not true?
This is the conversation I had with Rob while we were alone together. I said, Rob, turn on the fan when you leave the bathroom. And I said, we all need to do that. You got to leave the fan on.
When did that occur?
That was just before 9.
Yes.
Wait, yesterday?
No, today.
Today.
It's 8:17.
I'm sorry. I'm thinking of a 9 o'clock start. Just before 8. Forgive me.
So if I'm having that conversation, do you think I want to sit in here and do that all day? No. I'm going to go do something productive.
But to be fair, Oscar, this morning when I went to go to visit the restroom, I said, if Mike calls in, please wait here so you can answer the call.
I did.
But you didn't stay the whole time because by the time I came back, he said, he hasn't called yet.
And I had said, Pony, look for the call. I'm walking
over.
But
even if he's in the building, he will not come into the studio until you're here and I'm here. And that's the way he likes it.
And that's correct? Just, you know, I guess that's the way he's wired.
That's the way I'm wired.
It's the way he's wired.
And then I say, hey, what about the NBA, Rob? What about that draft yesterday? And then
the star of the show arrives last.
No, see, that's that's you projecting. That is you projecting.
Right?
That the star of the show leaves first. That's the way this has worked out on this show. Because you're the star. I stay latest. Because I'm not.
But you do not like.
I'm just trying to get into the inner workings of the way you operate. I think people who are chronically thoughtless and late, and by the way, I never was until I just gave up.
Right?
Because I said, "What's the point?" That's why I'm late. Because I like right. Like,
who cares?
It was 5 of 8, and I say that because you're not going to be here. If I get
like,
in at five,
on a
up,
regular
you're not gonna be
basis,
in the studio.
You start the show late. on a regular basis.
No, no. I didn't before you.
I ruined you.
You turned
I
me.
Ruined
wrecked me.
You. I ruined you.
You did.
I ruined you.
You did.
Okay.
I will. All right.
I'm
here
sorry.
We go. We're going to go. You brought it up. You want to challenge me on it?
Another bet.
Let's
another bet.
Oh, another bet. Another bet.
Another bet. Another bet. Another bet.
By the way, I won the last
another bet.
Bet.
Yeah, that's why he had to shave his head.
Yeah, remember?
I won the
paid.
Last bet.
Yeah.
You lose
paid,
all these
paid
bets.
My dues.
My perfect
yes.
world.
Yeah.
And the world that I would. Now that does not necessarily. Here's what time. We have to modify. This is too behind the scenes.
We are not equals, Mike. You are the star. We are cast members.
No. I don't want to go behind the scenes too much because we do, for obvious reasons that we don't know, need to go into detail.
Okay.
We do modify our start times.
At times, yes.
Based on other commitments that we have.
This is true.
So to say that particular 9 a.m., which is our regular start time, we can't do that because sometimes we do earlier. Once in a very rare occurrence, we do it later. But most of the time, we do it early. And that cannot change.
That's
we agree
fair.
On that. Oh, right?
Fair.
Right.
Fair.
We cannot agree on that.
We can agree on that.
We can agree on that.
We can agree on
yes.
that.
Yes.
But if you want to do some sort of promptness-based wager, it's easy. You just have to do it based on the start time, not on a 9 o'clock start time.
I think that's fine. We can go back to the old rules
I
of engagement.
I find it tedious, though.
In what way?
I find it tedious. Well, I mean, I think
you
that there
won
are
the
people...
last bet. You won.
Yeah, I know.
And
I know.
It resulted
but, I mean,
in some great
I don't like
radio.
It. I don't like it. But I also think that then you get people making the argument that wouldn't want us to ever change the start time. This was a radio show. It's not. Primarily, it's a radio show and a podcast.
Right.
So, and we have other in Podcast Village, just so I can make sure because people are going to ask.
Right.
They better
we have
ask.
Other, we
Lay
have
it
other
on.
Stuff going on in Podcast Village
yes.
that changes the start times. And then we have modifications for other scheduling where we change it.
Mm-hmm.
So I don't know what I want
I
to
don't,
do.
I don't think we're...
I don't know if I want to do another bet.
Listener, but a bet would be something.
But a bet would, let me explain to you.
Yes.
A bet to me would be that it would be always 9 o'clock, but we can't do that. You see, if we're going to have a bet about what time the show
starts. A bet could easily be just be adhering to the agreed upon start time.
This could be the 2019 version of the bet.
I'm going to have to think.
The bet.
An annual bet.
I'm going to have to think about it.
All right.
Yes.
Because all I wanted to do was discuss the way you operate. You don't like to sit and with your hands there like you are right now. Like Rob is okay with it. You don't like to just sit there and wait for someone to arrive. Even if it's like we've done it like within the show. If we said we tape two shows on Wednesday,
right?
Yes.
We'll take a short break.
Can I give
you
me,
are
can
always
I,
the
can,
last
can,
one in the studio.
Can I give you this is what I'll tell you exactly what happened this morning. I got here at roughly 7:55.
Right.
I come in. The marquee sign at the front of the actual lobby isn't on. The lamps aren't on.
Is that the Podcast Village
yes,
lighted sign?
Yes, and then the lights underneath
sign.
The coffee machine aren't on. The studio lights aren't on. It looks like nobody's working here. So I'm walking around making sure everything's done.
Well, what time do normally things get going? Aren't we the first ones to really get cranking it?
Yes, but
on
like,
any
that doesn't
morning?
Mean you don't come in and take a little pride to turn on all the lights.
Well, normally I do this, but
not,
I did not today.
Can
because
I
we
finish, for God's sakes? I'm not
were,
saying it's you.
You are taking a pause, so I assumed you were
no,
finished.
No, I will let you know, Mouth. Settle down.
No, I should
hey, at least
point
he's
out
not being
also.
Defensive.
So I but, walk okay. in here, and I'm oh like, he's God. Like, Rob's like, hey, Butch. I'm like, Butch, what a weird name to call somebody. And then I looked at him, I said, where do you get Butch from?
That's very germane to the conversation, isn't it?
And this is what I have to do. You think I want to hang out with the guy calling me Butch when I walk in? Like, this is the strangest conversation
let
I
me,
have in the morning.
All right, that's fine. Let me go back to another thing. All right, let me just do this.
Yeah. Yes.
This is important. This is important. This is from the past weekend.
Past weekend.
I'm not going to call you Butch anymore.
Really all weird.
Right. I thought it was fun.
I've never heard anybody call anybody Butch.
Call my
on
kid
Friday,
Butch sometimes.
On Friday this past weekend.
Yeah.
At Friday at 12:23 p.m.
Mm-hmm.
I was able to get coverage for tomorrow.
Yes.
Let's meet up at 3:30 at Jimmy's.
That doesn't count. It's the weekend.
That's from Oscar.
It's
that's from
Oscar's.
No, but it's ridiculous. And then sounds like a plan. And then I said, thanks for all the good work this week. You know, so that's
nice.
That's
nice.
Yes.
And then I mentioned a little business thing. Mm-hmm. And Oscar writes, thank you. Then at 3 o'clock, running late, picking up Marissa.
Yes.
ETA closer to 4 p.m.
End time.
Then he arrived at 4:40.
True. All these things are true.
An hour and 10 minutes late.
I stayed later, though.
Well, the 4:40.
I stayed later.
Not
I stayed
later than me.
I stayed at the event the entire time.
Well, you mean later than Rob?
Yes, everyone.
That's not relevant to the discussion, though.
And I will give him credit. You know what? Quality. It was nice that he sent the text that he was going to be late. It's just a shame he didn't enumerate how late he was going to be.
Then I, Mike.
So should I? I had said to Carly, if I really, really, really was relying on meeting Oscar at 3:30, when he said 3:30, I figured I'd arrive at 4 and that would work out.
Sure.
But no, it should be it's a flat hour now. It's a flat hour.
Hour is a factor.
This is not a problem for you because we only see each other once a year. So I'm not really putting you out that many times.
Yeah, but it puts more weight on it if it's a once a year thing.
And why did you leave early if it's a once a year thing?
Well, he got there punctually, though. Rob,
exactly on time.
In one
Rob
hour.
Was
I was there
Street.
For 2 hours.
I looked over my left-hand shoulder, and Rob was on Eldon Street at 4:59 p.m., for a 5 o'clock arrival.
So my point being,
I just happened to look at it because I was comparing.
Today, Senator.
I was.
Senator John Warner is coming in, and the former senator and his son John.
The
Warner,
older gentleman,
the older gentleman as well, is cool. coming in today, and I was just.
You're not going to be late for him.
Oh, I'm not even at that broadcast. I'm going to another broadcast.
But you wouldn't be late for Senator Warner.
Well, I can't because I'm here already.
I know, but you wouldn't be late for Senator Warner is the point I'm trying to make.
I can't because I'm here.
Yeah, but I mean, if it was me and you were here and we were doing a show and you had to wait 15 minutes, you'd go to like the store.
I would.
So you could walk
say,
in
I'm
late.
I'm going to CVS. I'll be back. Let me know when you're
Mike,
ready.
Are you excited? Are you excited about seeing the new Marvel? Are you excited about seeing the new Marvel movie? It stars Oscar Santana. It's called Deflecto. And he is a superhero in the Marvel
it's more
universe.
Like Endgame.
This is what I try to do.
When I stroke out, you're like, remember that guy? I was here all the time. I'm trying to understand.
I want to understand the MO of chronic lack of punctuality, where it's not something you can do. Well, I don't think this is something where that. Wait, let me finish. I don't think this is anything related to. Lack of enthusiasm for the job you have, work ethic. I don't think it's anything we got, but it is people. I read it somewhere. People who are late, who keep others waiting, they would rather be drawn and quartered than have that happen to them.
Mm.
So do you understand what I'm saying?
No, I think you, well, look, that may be true for other people. I don't mind waiting. But if I'm going to wait, I'm going to do other things that are efficient while I wait. That's
really?
What it is.
Yeah, I don't know. That's true. I don't know. What do you think, Rob?
Have I ever thrown a tiff about anybody being late or waiting too long to you, Rob?
You just
be
did
honest.
With me.
Be honest.
You said 17 minutes. You just
well, because
did.
you were saying, what is he doing?
You just contradicted
today
yourself.
Today is the day, but when we're not fighting
You've
on
done
air.
That before.
You
have,
you have
You've
a
done
habit.
That before to me.
You deflect when we call you on it. You absolutely throw
okay,
it back
no,
on
I'm saying. I'm saying... Personally, off the air, when we're not trying to effing entertain, have I ever sat there and be like, I wonder what he's doing. I can't believe he's late. I can't believe he's not on time. Have I ever done that?
I've not. I don't recall you ever doing that off air, but I've also, you know, have heard you do it many times on air.
That's because I'm trying to be entertaining. Off air, I do not do that because that's not how I'm built.
All I'm trying to figure out is the nature of the lack of punctual person. I'm trying to figure it out.
Well, Mike,
you've won the war, by the way. You've won the war of
war.
Attrition. Oscar, we bent to your will, which anyone in this studio would agree is very, very strong. Your will is very strong. I gave up. Look back to the 10 years ago. We had horrible fights about it.
The best.
And you still would go back to doing it. Because you didn't have it, and I bent to your will, so I have bent. All I'm trying to do now is understand it more. Understand how the brain works.
I don't
like,
think
when you get up in the morning, you say we have an 8 o'clock start that you called today, an 8 a.m.
Yes.
start, and you walk in at 7:55.
Yes,
I try to understand how that you know rolls.
I
try to understand your brain and how it works. That's what I'm trying to do.
Well, at 7:55, I know that I'm on time, and I walk in, I put my bag down, and then I start doing
What time did you arrive, Rob?
Today there was a mess of traffic. I didn't get here until about quarter of
7:45.
Yeah.
All right. So I'm just trying to understand it. That's all. And you're not doing. You're being defensive, and you're not. You're not letting me know how you feel. Maybe it would be helpful for me to explain back in the day how I did it. All right. I would leave so early for any commitment or certainly the show. Well, the show would be 2.5 hours early. I would be in a building 2.5 hours before I, 2 hours before I had to do a show. After the show was over, as you were alluding to, shot out of a cannon almost routinely. Never linger after. I don't do postmortems. Don't like it. But before, and then when there would be any kind of commitment, I would normally be there very, very early. So I tell the story about Don Geronimo and I quite often seeing each other driving around the block at a venue where we had to be. That's the way.
Because you arrived so early.
And by the way, if I am even late for something that doesn't really even matter, where people aren't going to be upset, my stress level goes off the charts if I'm going to be late for that.
So
you do not possess
that. I don't stress about
that. On any level at all. And I'm trying to understand what that is.
So this morning I woke up roughly at 6:20 in the morning because my wife was coughing. And I said, I'm going to go get you some medicine. So I walked to CVS. I get her some medicine. I walk in. She's like, can you get me some tea? I order on Starbucks. It's a block from my house. Walk to Starbucks. Come back. Have breakfast. By the way, do not miss Starbucks. The coffee's garbage. Thank God we got the machine here at Podcast Village. Sidebar. And then I sit there around 7:40. I'm like, I'll order an Uber. Time to go in. After I read some headlines, make sure I'm not missing anything, came in here with a few stories for you guys.
Your morning is la la la.
It's la la la. Yes,
your morning, that's the problem.
Yes. La la la.
You are your go time would be like starting at about 3 p.m. where you start to where the engine just starts to truly
No. My go time is roughly, I would say, 10:36 when the show usually ends. Because that's when I have to hit all the emails that I've missed from the morning and run another business. That's the go time.
Yeah.
But I went to bed at 11:30, sent some emails out.
Okay.
You know, I'm getting better sleep.
As far as in the morning, Rob, help me out. You're being very quiet and I have no idea. I know he's there. You know,
I want to bet. Let's bet something new.
He's eager. No. He's eager for a wager, and you're dragging your feet.
No, don't tell me I'm dragging my feet. I'm trying to get your perspective on things.
I don't think he can be changed.
Which I know you don't want to do.
No,
tired.
I don't think he can be changed, and I think we've both accepted that.
I can't.
I do think that
we've all evolved to a certain part of our careers,
or devolved.
I don't think we've devolved.
I think that if he had more structure in his morning routine. And that he had sort of marks to hit time-wise, as you do and as I do when we prep in the morning to get here, he would probably do better. Because, you know, he is, at his heart, he is a broadcaster. The thing that's always troubled me is most broadcasters are deadline-driven, and that doesn't seem to be part of him. That's a weird outlier.
There's a term
and you know what? And the thing
is
that we've worked together now for nearly 10 years.
Yes.
I've known you longer
than
that. But when we started working together, and I started to see this, it was the weirdest outlier for me. I said, he's just not that way.
It's hard to understand genius. I get that for you guys. Like, it's just, it's tough.
Not for me.
Oh. And you get
it. Long butter. Oh my God. I don't want to do a bet. Let me tell you what gets me, because I was a minute late coming in today.
Yes.
And when I did, and when I see that chair empty, it always pisses me off. And I hate it.
Do you see the
it.
Backpack?
I'd love the
see
only joy.
My
you
coffee.
Let me just say,
yes.
The only joy I have when I'm running late, because I don't like to run late, the only joy I have is having you wait for me. Sorry, you can start the show now because that's the goddamn.
It's the Mike O'Mara Show. You can listen to the Mike O'Mara Show at www.mikeomarashow.com.
Stay tuned for an outstanding entertainment program.
It's the Mike O'Mara Show.
Let's get down to business.
From the entertainment capital of the world.
I shall pass through this world but once. Any good, therefore, that I can do, or any kindness that I can show to any human being, let me do it now. Let me not defer or neglect it, for I shall not pass this way again.
for God's sake. Hey. Oh, I know. I know. Don't tell me. I gotta recognize your face. Yeah. You know who you are? Don't tell me. I don't. You're Martin. D. Martin. I know you for crying out loud. I see you on the television. There, he said all the time when I have it on, when you're on. Hey, you know something? My wife thinks that you're one of the sexiest guys in the whole world.
She does?
Yeah. She thought that right after she had her breakdown. Yeah. Listen, you know something? Speaking of Frank Sinatra, is he a great lover, too?
I wouldn't know. I never dated him.
Well, the way I heard it, that one time he put jelly all over a lady trumpet player and had a jam session.
No, Frank wouldn't do that. He's a mayonnaise man.
Oh, is that right? Say, you know something, you, over there, a gray eagle. You look familiar, too. Say, haven't I seen you somewhere before, too?
Well, you probably have on one of these stars of the Maritime Moore Show.
That's where I've seen you, yeah, for current. I watch that show, too, when I'm not watching a dino show.
Yeah, thank you.
Boy, that's a good show.
Thank you.
I like all the people on that show, yeah.
Thank you.
You know that guy who plays a newscaster?
Yeah.
Boy, does he stink.
Yeah, I'll tell you.
What part do you play?
Rhoda Morgenstern. Right? Ah!
Speaking of Sammy Davis Jr., listen, you probably know him real well, too. Is he really Jewish?
Yes, he is.
You know, that's strange. Now, I didn't know that they had Jewish tap dancers.
I'm sure those Jewish folks have a great sense of rhythm.
You should know, Ron.
Yeah. Well, listen, speaking of my leaving, before I go, can I fix either one of you guys a short one?
Yes, I would. I'd like one.
Oh, good. Maybe I'll fix you up with Mickey Rooney.
It's the Mike O'Mara Show. Mike O'Mara, Rob Spiewak, Oscar Santana. And now, from his easy chair, here's Mike.
A short joke, a misogynistic joke, and a Jewish black joke, all in the same bit. It was your era, Rob Spiewak.
Set in a bar.
And that's set in a bar.
Doesn't get any better than that.
We are live from the Podcast Village Studios in our nation's capital. This is the Mike O'Mara Show. Great to be with you from Ras Al Khaimah United Arab Emirates.
Yep, all the way over there.
From Ras Al Khaimah United Arab Emirates to Longwood, Florida. From Salt Lake City to Horsehead, New York. From Rapid City to, South Dakota, to Shibuya, Tokyo, Japan. It's a tough one this week.
Yeah.
The Mike O'Mara Show is on now. Yesterday, a package came, my Star Wars Me Undies lounge pants arrived
at
the house.
Oh, look at you!
And oh, what a fun night we had in the O'Mara household. I will tell you, Me Undies with their micro-modal fabric, absolutely incredible. And Me Undies are seriously the most covered. Look at those!
Hey!
What are those?
Those are Stormtrooper lounge pants.
Oh, you got different ones than I got. Those are cooler. I like those. Look at those.
And
Me Undies, Oscar's holding up right now.
Mine have lightsabers. Yours have lightsabers?
Yeah, I got lightsabers.
Yeah, so that's what I got
maybe
as well.
Maybe they have more lightsaber fabric. That's why. Yeah. So we all got them. Every pair of micro, I'm sorry. Wow.
For Mike, for the larger Jedi.
For the larger force. Every pair of Me Undies uses that great micro-modal fabric, which is 3 times softer than regular cotton. It's exactly what you want down there, soft as butter, in my pants.
In his pants!
Plus, Me Undies has plenty of style options, as we just demonstrated to you. And men can now try the new boxer brief with fly. Does it fly? Is it a butterfly?
Fly.
No. The boxer brief with fly. It's a strange show already today. which is the same great cut as the MeUndies boxer brief, but now with an added option for guys who prefer to go through the gate versus over the fence. MeUndies also the go-to for the softest loungewear, which we were just showing
yes.
you, on the planet. Try their lounge pants and onesies. The lounge pants are super cool.
Love it.
And MeUndies makes onesies. I have not tried a onesie yet. If they send me a large onesie that I can fit in, I will wear it on the entire show.
Like mine was so big.
Get that, and I mean that, as God is my witness, if MeUndies sends me a onesie, I will wear it for the entire show, and it doesn't have to be Christmas.
Might have to be a twosie for you.
MeUndies has a great offer for our listeners, for any first-time purchasers. When you purchase any MeUndies, you get 15% off and free shipping. Why wait? Get 15% off a pair of the most comfortable undies you will ever put on. To get 15% off your first pair, free shipping, and a 100% satisfaction guarantee, go to MeUndies.com/TMOS. That's MeUndies.com/TMOS. Well, we figured nothing out in that first segment, so we have to move on.
We figured out he got his lounge pants.
But there's also... A wager that may happen. You're going to think about it.
No, I don't. I don't.
Will you at least think about it?
Think about it.
No, we changed the time, start times too often. So
I don't know. We did the same thing beforehand as well.
Yeah, I know. We can build that into the bet.
I don't know. We'll see. It's time to open up the mailbag. Let's do that, shall we? Yes. There you go. You can tell I don't want to do it. Thank you. All right, very good. It's bores me. Now tighter and brighter for your listening pleasure. Happy Wednesday, everybody. We moved it from yesterday because we had the Pete Holmes interview. Wonderful. Yes. Thank you for the feedback on the Pete Holmes conversation. It was great. First letter says, hi, guys. Just wanted to share an odd anecdote that demonstrates just how deeply your show infiltrates my life. Maybe that's my problem. But oh, there we are.
Light.
Thank you. Yeah, very good.
Let there be light.
I was out with my 4-year-old twins yesterday, and we saw a giant oscillating fan standing in a public area. My always curious daughter, Sydney... I love that name. Reached out to touch the fan. It wasn't turned on, but I still panicked and said, don't touch that. Of course, she replied, why? In an act of parental desperation, I blurted out, you can't touch it. You'll upset Dan. My daughter, not unreasonably, asked, who's Dan? I replied, Dan the fan man. No. He controls all the fans. And if you touch the fan, he'll yell at you. He'll say, get away from my fan. You must imagine the last part said in the Dano, get away from my fan.
Get away from my fan.
Sydney looked horrified. Don't tell Dan, she yelled. So now, in addition to loud noises and shots at the doctor's office, we have added Dan the fan man to things my daughter is terrified of. Well, isn't that a nice accomplishment?
Yeah, he's like a
chupacabra.
Or a boogeyman. Well,
yeah. I'm pretty sure I'm a bad parent, but I still love the show. That's the most important part.
Yes.
That's best to all, Amanda Swavey of Bridgeport, Connecticut, home state.
Swavey.
Way to go, Amanda. Yes, you know, every now and then you get so tired of disciplining and minding your children that sometimes you just have to F with them a little bit.
Yeah, we used to tell Julia inevitable. Wayne Newton lived under her bed.
So she wouldn't go under it?
No, it was just for fun. There was really no strategy behind it, come to think about it. She'd say, Dad, what does he do down there?
I'm doing my show at the Sand. Sweet dreams. Sweet dreams, Julia.
All grown up. All grown up with that prom date in the shoes. Next letter says, hello. Please offer congratulations to TMOS listener Fiona Whittington.
Yes.
She is graduating from Boston University. Oh, what a great school. With a degree in communications, a great degree from BU. She's following in the footsteps of her idol Oscar Santana and will not be taking any time off. She starts her job this Monday morning, just like Elizabeth O'Mara.
Yes, that's awesome.
Do it.
Tickety-tonk and down with the Nazis.
Agreed.
I don't know where that came from. Sound signed one proud poppy, BW.
Yeah.
Initials there.
I think that's we can all agree on that sentiment.
The next letter says, hello, gang. I wanted to say thank you to all of you for keeping this psychiatric social worker sane. I couldn't do it without you guys. For my birthday, I would like to hear my favorite sound, Charlie's laugh. Of course we want that today. That's what that has to happen on a day. I couldn't come in with any breathing distress.
If Charlie's not available, Charlie's not available.
Thanks again, and please keep up the funny, Lori Canada.
Oh, Charlie.
Sorry.
How you feeling, Charlie?
Charlie's not good. next letter for Oscar.
Yes.
Oscar, it feels good to reach out to you. I'm a longtime fan of everything you do.
Wow. How about that? That must be nice.
Me too. I've been with TMOS since the beginning, and I am also a longtime bonus show subscriber.
Yay!
I was listening to the May 8th TMOS episode when I knew I had to send you an email. During the discussion of Tech 411, you said that after Todd does a potential farewell show... I'm sorry, that made me laugh. After Todd does a potential farewell show, you might do a casting call for his replacement. I'd like to get a jump on that if possible.
Aha!
I really hope that I could be a good fit. I'm a big fan of podcasting, and I think I could gain as much as I can offer if given a chance. We talked once on a Wide Open Wednesday regarding the fact that I recently got my master's in management and have been looking for the right opportunity to create the next path for my career. Please let me know what you think. I can provide my more personal info and examples of my work upon request. Well, there's nothing about tech in here.
Is this Ronaldo?
I believe it is, yeah. But
I hope you will. Well, it said name and address withheld.
Well, I didn't want to embarrass him in case you shut him down. I have the email.
But
you
just said it's him.
No, I just said, I'm asking if it's him.
You asked, and then he confirmed, and he said name and address withheld. Fine. Come on.
We have 20 Rolandos on the show, all right, all the time. We know this.
Says, I hope you will keep me in mind if you decide to relaunch Tech 411, or even if you may want someone to talk tech on TMOS.
Your name came up at a sidebar meeting at Jimmy's with one Ooh. Todd Moore.
Oh, yeah.
Todd Moore said, he put his arm around me, his big tree trunk of an arm, because he's so tall.
Yes.
And said, I heard you doing a casting call. And I said, what are you talking about? He goes, you're saying you're going to reboot Tech 411 when I leave. And I'm like, oh, you still listen. This is great.
That is great.
and I was like, this is fantastic. Mm-hmm. You're still into this. I love it.
Yes.
And I said, dude, you're moving away. What do you want me to sit here and wither and die without you? You're my best friend's moving. He goes, I'll be back in 2 weeks.
We're going to have to do a deep dive on him.
I said, are you going to move or not? And he said, we can always Skype. He goes, tell the world the truth. And I said, what's the truth, Todd?
You know, he goes to that a lot, Todd does. Tell the world the truth.
Tell the world the truth.
Hey, you tell him the truth. It's a good idea for a wall.
You know what he said? And this is true. He goes, you're why Tech 411 doesn't survive. But he is right. I am very busy, and Todd wouldn't want to do the show.
He got to that point of drunkenness. Did you ever get to the point where you were walking up to people and say, you know what? Todd stinks.
No.
Because I've seen them both, you know, they cohabitate like that. Yeah.
No, I ended up at his house wearing his sweatpants and a t-shirt.
Why are you scared of the truth?
Because I fell down a hill.
We'll have to find out whether the future of Tech 411 will be alive.
Ronaldo, we need a producer. If you're up for that, we can talk.
Our next letter says, hello, men. This letter, like my father's CPAP machine, comes to you in two parts. That's funny.
You go to opening line.
Part one, a thank you. My old man and I have been listening to and bonding over your show for years in the car, the kitchen, or even miles apart. Your show, to us, is like the strongest bonding agent mankind ever created. Family Dollar Gourmet Super Glue. I like this guy. I'm now 24 years old to have your show to thank in part. That was a great incarnation. Huh? We might resurrect. It's not around. Is Family Dollar still a thing?
Mike, they did 12 episodes, a clip show, and it's gone.
It's gone.
But all of them are on YouTube, and we still have all the work parts. We could play Family Dollar again.
Family Dollar Mac and
Save
Cheese.
To win.
We're the biggest fans of that show.
It was the greatest show.
I am now 24 years old and have your show to thank in part for my career as a professional radio disc jockey. No!
Congratulations, sir.
Yeah, all right. Congratulations. Until my job becomes irrelevant, then I'll have you to blame. Part two, ass kissing. After spending $900 on tires for my car and eating 2 weeks' worth of ramen noodles and tap water, I finally made the move. As soon as my next paycheck rolled around, the first thing I did was finally subscribe to the bonus show. Worth every cent, and thank you.
Nice.
Back to my dad. He and I are awaiting mom's approval to pull the trigger and head to Las Vegas. Awaiting mom's approval. Tell that battle axe to say yes. To pull the trigger and head to Las Vegas to see you guys. We took a guy's trip to Vegas in January as a Christmas present from my mom. But in the days afterward, my mother realized what a horrible mistake she made sending her degenerate husband and gluttonous son to Sin City. This is a funny letter. Despite this, I am sure we can make it happen. Love your show. Keep bringing the funny, and we hope to see you in Vegas. Yours in Christ, Tyler Franson, gluttonous DJ. That is fantastic.
So cool.
I love that. That's so great. Cool. Hope we make it out there. I guess if they did Vegas in January, They might have to work Mamo a little bit, but yeah. You know,
maybe for
you'll
the
be
holidays,
among
an early Christmas present.
Sure,
absolutely. An early Christmas present. Yeah. You'll be among gluttonous friends. That'll be fabulous.
Yeah, or bring the battle axe along.
Oh, no.
Safety
no,
in numbers.
No, we don't need that. I don't need somebody sitting in the second row of the show just scowling at me. We'll take a
pouty
break.
Face.
And
pouty
we'll
face.
Come back. I want to talk television when we come back because that's all I've been doing lately. And before that, a little Tim Conway, too. That's television. We'll be right back on the Mike O'Mara Show.
The year is 2019, and the death toll only rises. It's Mickey, the Tony Perkins Show, Americast, and Tech 411 have all perished in the nuclear fire called Judgment Day. With cake and cookies on life support, only political persuasions remains to helm the resistance against whatever it is we're fighting against in this promo. Each Thursday, listen as Resistance leader Mike O'Mara and Skynet stooge Chris Freites discuss the political scene as the fate of our world hangs in the balance. Political Persuasions, Thursdays on MikeO'MaraShow.com, PoliticalPersuasions.com, and wherever else Skynet allows it.
Mm. All right. That one always makes me pause. Welcome back to the Mike O'Mara Show. Once upon a time, there was a little boy named Percival Poot who lived just a half a dream away from forever. He would wander the streets of Butterbeer Square, letting his mind and feet wander, while being vaguely distracted by the dulcet tones of a fife and lute sextet that existed only in the misty twilight of Nevermore. 'Twas just at that very moment when a tall, angular man, more shape than animal, sold to Percival a small scarlet velvet sack that contained the magic beans of a bald walnut Elsinore. These beans, promised the man, would use their wild wizarding ways to grow a stalk 60 times taller than the mighty mountain of Ruby Fist Hollow, and would grant him all the riches of the kingdom of Glad Fart Gold Tick Shelf Rinker. So Percival, with his sack of beans in hand, ran home with all the speed of a greased goose goblin that was frightened by a 9-foot jackdawed fist thrumper. "Mother," he yelled, "I hath bought the beans. Untold riches shall forever festoon our household. Oh, joyous hour." To which his mother replied, "You stupid piece of shit. That was my TMOS bonus show money. Now how am I supposed to support my favorite podcast, you slimy c***er?"
What?
You see, Mother Poot wanted access to all the TMOS bonus content. She wanted to go to MikeO'MaraShow.com and click the bonus banner, but she couldn't because she raised a gullible asshole. The bonus show. Buy it. It will make you live happily ever after. Wow.
Terrible,
I think Rob
Mike.
Dropped acid last night.
It's a parable.
I think he really did.
And,
oh, my God.
60 taller than that mountain it will grow.
That's amazing. That's now, do you take some of that right from the real book? Is that what
No,
it
it's
was,
entirely or? From my head.
Oh, my God. Very,
originally,
very
his name was Percival Pence, and I said, oh, my God, I've named him after our vice president. So I changed it to Poot.
Poot. Pooty toot toot. Yeah. Pooty poot.
But that's a true story. Don't spend your bonus show money on beans.
Like a dirty comic.
Exactly. Yesterday, we, you know, slowly on online, you realize what somebody means to people. And for all you oldsters out there that grew up like I did watching the Carol Burnett Show, we lost Tim Conway. Had the pleasure of interviewing Tim a while back. And, you know, really, really one of the all time. Is there anything more more evident of a simpler, lighter time than watching clips of Tim Conway's comedy? Because it was a simpler time. It was innocent fun. It was just silliness, and it was silliness for silliness sake, and it was fun, and it was light, and it was kind, and you know, it was family time. I mean, people don't realize it wasn't that long ago that there were three networks and the family would get together and watch their favorite shows, the whole country all together. The fact that we're fragmented now has something maybe to do with how nasty we are to one another. But, you know, I don't want to put too much on Tim Conway, but what a genius he was. He was so much fun. He really was.
I think I started like you and like many people. I just started clicking around YouTube and finding clips. Yeah, and I was enjoying it so much.
I played the dentist for my son last night.
I liked it so much that I actually dug out. I have some Carol Burnett Show DVDs and watched the entire episodes.
Yeah.
And there's just that running theme of when he would come out as a character, you could see the entire cast brace because they knew they were in for a treat. And
because
when you get
he would not necessarily bring anything that was rehearsed to the equation.
And it almost, and there's a tension. There's a very enjoyable tension to the scene watching Harvey Korman watch him. And I think that is so just evident of what a genius he was, that a man that would work with him week
in
and week out.
Well, and they also played it up. Don't make any mistake about that. I think they played it up towards the end.
But there was some genuine laughter there, I think.
There was some genuine. Well, they all made each other laugh, and that's fun. Like, we make each other laugh. I mean, you have three geniuses where you got Harvey Korman, Carol Burnett, and Tim Conway, the big three on that show. And then that number three kind of helps comedically. I think it offers a lot of balance as opposed, you know, it's kind of why they do that in a lot of sports booths. You know, having that third wheel in there works a little bit. But it just, when we had him on, here's the way I always judged it. You get a TV person that comes on your show. You've waited a long time. You know he's iconic. And he comes on a show. And he's as funny as he was, and he tries to be, and he makes the effort. John Madden, when we used to have him on the Don and Mike show, he comes to mind, too, as somebody who brought the personality, and it's so generous to do that. You know, they got to do it for everybody. If they're doing it for you, they're doing it for everybody. And it was just a lot of fun to have that. You know, for all the famous people out there that have made people laugh, and I say this to stand-up comedians in particular, this is really, really important. When you go on a show like a local radio show or a podcast and you come in and you realize that what the people that are interviewing you are looking for is for you to bring a little of yourself, that we've gotten away from that. We've gotten, I almost call it the Joe Roganizing of podcasts and media where, you know, let's just be cool and talk and rap. And I love it when a celebrity brings what a celebrity's given.
Celebrity.
And, do the act. Do the act.
I like it when they do what they what
people
they do,
love the act. That's why you're a celebrity.
Tell me everything you get to do that we don't get to do.
Exactly.
Now, in many cases where you have somebody like a Pete Holmes who is just interesting to talk to, you go that route. But as far as like an iconic guy like who was silly, like Tim Conway, when he brought the funny to our show, it was so I was so grateful. And it was just, it was really, really wonderful. So he's gone. And,
how did your son react to the dentist sketch? I'm curious. Because, I mean, that's...
Curiosity.
50 years old now,
He's like, well, he's, my son is five. And
right,
so
it's not for him yet.
My son sees the dentist and he goes, Dad, he stabbed himself with a needle. I hold on, it's going to get funny. And then I see him. My son's got a very sophisticated sense of humor.
Shoot
so
him.
He likes
shoot
that.
Him.
Shoot her. Shoot her. I forgot one. I was not father of the year last night. He asked, he wanted to watch another Jurassic Park.
Yeah.
Oh,
so
no!
I thought I put Jurassic Park on again, but I put another one on. Like a later one, which is scarier. So,
sure.
And he was fine with it. He was,
that's good.
He was cool.
You let him watch Jurassic World?
I'm not sure which one he watched.
Which one was
that's
it?
How good a father.
Which one
I
was
don't
it?
Even know. I don't even know. I don't even know which one we
you're
put on for
you're the coolest dad around. Are you kidding me? It's like my dad letting me see boobs at like 12 in the living daylights.
I won't do
that.
Yeah,
but it was in a club, wasn't it?
I'll die another day.
Oh, okay. No. Different movie.
No, I won't let him see the boobies. This is the state of Alabama as far as that's concerned, okay? You know, we're conservative, you know. By the way, that's and congratulations to that state, too, for all the ladies out there, you might want to just drive around it if you're planning a trip down to the Gulf Coast. Yeah. Just be afraid.
Isn't
be
it wonderful afraid. That they're down there leading the charge?
Oh, my God. I swear to God. Because it has... look, I know there's one thing there. Did you hear what they're going to put on the new Alabama billboard?
No.
When you're Alabama, the best state in the South because it has electrolytes. That's what they're gonna say.
Well, I know the flag. The flag says Alabama, like at the toilet.
Anyway, it's crazy. Speaking of television,
yes.
So I have no idea because I haven't done a deep dive myself. I just know I'm a little obsessed with this show on HBO, Gentleman Jack. I'm a little obsessed, and I have been working Mrs. O'Mara like nobody's business to watch this show now. The gist of this show, the story is the woman in the 1830s, and she is a closeted lesbian.
Okay.
And she is a very, very strong personality, and she gets a lot of stuff done. And it's the story of her and her riches and her family and her love conquests, and I am all in. I am loving every minute of it. So much so that I went back and I watched the first episode again, and then last night I watched it a third time with Mrs. O'Mara. And so,
you recommend picking it up from the first episode?
Well, yeah, because I think that there are three or four that are in this year. I don't know. I never keep track of that crap. But I mean, I think there was a new one last night, and it's just, she is so unique and she is so captivating. And I want to be very careful here.
Isn't it a lot of fantasy though?
No, it's not fantasy at all.
I'm not saying like CGI fantasy. I'm saying
no, it's not. It's a real.
It's based supposedly on a true story.
I believe it's based on her journal entries of her love interest, and she dresses not like one of the feminine debutantes
like
of the day. Mm. She wears like a top hat, yeah. but she's not. But you here's
so
the thing.
It's like a pre-Civil War Paula Poundstone.
Don't bring Paula Poundstone into it. Please, don't do that.
You call them equestrian?
Well, that would be a horse person.
A horse? I don't think they're called
horses. There are horses in it, Oscar. Lots of them.
Equestrian is like a horse enthusiast or a horse expert.
Okay, so she, you know how some of the pants, you can look
at riding pants.
Riding pants, you're like, damn, that's sexy.
Yeah.
That's the type of sexy you get in the costumes that she's wearing.
I would appreciate it if you could take a peek.
I did because you told me to.
Okay, what's your take? I'm not going to say attractive because that's sexist. I will say compelling. Do you find her compelling?
The show is a good show.
It's beautifully photographed.
I don't know how much they spent on actually producing the film because it looks like it's a period piece.
It's really
it's a period piece.
It's truly spectacular cinematography.
I'm all for the glass ceiling being shattered. I was with her during the election, just so we know, before I say what I say now.
A lot of background being laid.
The idea that a woman could get away doing what she did at that era. Yes, that is, they show the trials and tribulations that it comes, the pushback that it comes with that.
Right.
But it just doesn't seem, I can't buy into that world.
I haven't really thought of it along those lines, but let me tell you something. Here's why I think it might be possible. Because she is the primary landowner for the village. So I think that she is able to live the life she, because I can understand your point with the Moors and the customs of the time. But I think she is able to do that and live that type of life because of her stature as an aristocrat in the English countryside.
Now,
I think that might be the only reason.
So it's not set in America. It's set in England.
It's set in England.
Okay.
Now,
Halifax,
you're like, well,
Hastings.
Oscar,
okay.
You're a Game of Thrones fan. Do you think Khaleesi can jump on a dragon? No, because that's fantasy world.
That's Game of Thrones total fantasy. This is more kind of a documentary-ish.
Now, you know. Do I like a powerful woman in a role? Absolutely. Like I was raised by a powerful woman.
That shoe's about to drop.
I would think that my wife is a strong woman. We're surrounded by them here. Maddie's we like strong personality.
Okay. Mm-hmm. Yes.
Now, if this show was set in the 80s, and I think my perfect example would be Working Girl, somebody that's working her way up, you know, showing the man what the man's all about. That's viable.
Right.
I don't think this happened because this is what they push on you, Rob. It's based on a true story / journals.
Okay.
So I'm like, I don't know if that's exactly the case.
I think it's possible because of the time where because of her social status, it could have been possible.
Especially
but I also
if it's
think
outside
it would be
of,
controversial.
If it's in a village, if it's outside of one of the more metropolitan areas of Great Britain, if it's outside of London, this could absolutely happen because her familial situation could have thrust her into that position.
Yeah, I haven't done a deep dive on it, so I'm not sure.
And I think Oscar would like it better if it did have dragons or robots.
What about the sexuality?
Here's what I love about the sexuality.
The sensuality. Sexuality is wrong.
The sensuality, well, no, but they have sex scenes.
You're so sensitive.
But they don't have, any sex scenes. You know what? I love the way they handle that because I think they handle it beautifully, and I think they handle it tastefully, and I sound like an old fart, but it's true. I like the way they do that, and I think the dynamic between Gentleman Jack and her interests is handled very, very well. It really makes you feel like what she must have felt.
Is it the Victorian age? Is that what it's considered?
I think the 1830s would be the Victorian.
Now, let me ask you this, Rob. What was that movie? And you're very good at this, better than I am.
Uh-huh.
For the Academy Awards, where they had all the Queen's ladies that were trying to fight for her. Emma.
The Favorite.
The Favorite, right?
It was just out last year.
So I watched The Favorite. And
the
that
queen,
is
making out the queen being a closeted lesbian as well.
I was so sorry. I thought it was going to be about horse racing, but it's not. It's all about this queen. I said, where are the horses?
He didn't watch it. He doesn't watch anything that was made
so,
new.
I watched The Favorite.
Yes.
And as soon as I saw the first episode of Gentleman Jack, I'm like, oh, there's some parallels, not just because of the timing, but because of the costumes as well. What I also found interesting is that when they do need to make love, or they have that urge, or they show it, how many layers of clothes have to come
off? Lots of them. Lots of layers
of
clothes.
Talk about buzzkill. Lots of layers. You know what I mean?
Or built of anticipation. It could make it better.
Well,
and by the way, I've been giving it some thought since it was said in the 1830s. The robots are made of wood. They're wooden robots.
What did Carla think? You forced it upon her.
Well, she, I did. I really did. Not. I mean, as much as I can. I said, please watch this. You're gonna. I like sharing something to watch with her, and not her, you know, going in and watching ID Channel all night while I watch hockey. And by the way, I watched plenty of hockey last night. Yeah, the Murder Your Husband channel. She loves, adores it. You know, here's another man that did something horrible that got killed. Anyway,
you never knew what Clorox tasted like because he didn't do the laundry.
So she said, I like it. And then this morning I said, because I like to press the issue a little bit. I don't even know if I should repeat what I said.
Hey, go ahead.
It's rude. But you know, I'm only putting a filter on myself because I still don't know the rules that well.
Okay.
All right. I'm an 80s shock jock. All right. I don't know the rule. I looked at my wife to say, I said, so how'd you like that show? So you like that lead character? She said, yeah. I said, would you do her? And Carla waited.
Nothing wrong at all.
Carla, you know, waited one beat, two beat, and then looked back at me and said, no, but I'd let her do me.
See? That's what I'm talking about. There you go. Big win.
And I love the song, Gentleman Jack. You ought to get that for tomorrow.
Okay.
Gentleman Jack, oh, Gentleman Jack. Nobody likes a jack-a-lass, a jack-a-lass. It's really a good show. You might like it, Rob Spiewak.
I'll jump in because I know you had episode one on streaming. I'll grab it and see it.
It's very interesting.
It's a good show.
And, I might be the only one. And when it's canceled, just let me know. We'll take a break. And when we come back, more stuff on the Mike O'Mara Show.
Own.
Hello?
The Yak Shack line is ringing. The Yak Shack line is ringing.
It's time to cheer. The Yak Shack's here. So call up when you're full of beer. We're all in store for fun rapport. Call 888-920-MORE. That's 888-920-MORE.
I know that promo is sticking because Maddie was dancing to the song this time.
How are we doing with the X? We need to goose it more, or are we doing okay with the X?
We had a good influx, but you know what? A nice, steady influx is always nice, but drink more, call more. That's what I always say.
Don't forget, the lines are always open at 888-920-MORE, 888-920-6673. We'll do yaks tomorrow on the show. So you want to get a few last-minute yaks in tonight, you can do that as well. Always open at 888-920-6673. Welcome back to the Mike O'Mara Show. Brought to you by ZipRecruiter. Hiring is challenging, but there's one place you can go where hiring is simple, fast, and smart. A place where growing businesses connect with qualified candidates. That place is ZipRecruiter. I always miss the period, and now you put three after it. I don't know why. Let me explain the way I do commercials sometimes.
Please.
The copy will write, a place where growing businesses connect with qualified candidates, and I roll right into the next level, which is that place. And what it is it sounds like I'm saying a place where growing businesses connect with qualified candidates that place.
Right.
That place efficiency over. Mm. That's the way I read that. Every time. Yes. What I really want to say is that place is ZipRecruiter.com.
Ooh. Yes.
We are making the same mistake every day. ZipRecruiter sends your job to over 100 of the web's leading job boards, but they don't stop there. With their powerful matching technology, ZipRecruiter scans thousands of resumes to find people with the right experience and invites them to apply for the job. It really is the most state-of-the-art and efficient way to get your hires.
The only way to do it, really,
ZipRecruiter analyzes each one, spotlights the top candidates. ZipRecruiter is so effective that 4 out of 5 employers who post on ZipRecruiter get a quality candidate through the site within the first day. It's that good. Right now, our listeners can try ZipRecruiter for free at this exclusive web address, ZipRecruiter.com/TMOS. That's ZipRecruiter.com/TMOS. Remember, ZipRecruiter.com/TMOS. ZipRecruiter, the smartest way to hire. And we thank you. I have no idea why these ideas pop into my head, but I'll ask both of you.
Mm-hmm.
How do you take your sub sandwich? If you are out there, maybe because I went to Mario's, which has this these decadent sandwiches in
D.C.
It's
that place?
The best sandwich shop.
Mario's?
No. Oh, yeah, because what's his name called?
Pete Holmes called you Mario. I lost my share.
Oh, darn it.
When I changed my name to Oscar.
Okay.
You're the closest one, and for many, many moons, we're the closest one to Mario's. Have you frequented Mario's in Falls Church?
So the Mario's to me means a lot because when we would go out in Clarendon, many a nights you were unsuccessful meeting, you know, anyone that you could have sex with,
right?
You'd say enough of this drinking and trying to have sex with someone. It's time for Mario. I'll go have sex with a great sub from Mario's.
And right. He's speaking not literally.
Yes. The early sex, yes, but not with the Mario sub.
Right, exactly.
Yeah. Well, as Joe Chris, one of my classmates from Marist College, where I attended with Bill O'Reilly years ago, said to me one time about French fries with gravy, which I had never had. She said, Mike, you have to go to this diner, order the French fries with gravy. It's sex. Thank you, Joe Chris.
He is right. The majority of people I would see at Mario's when I would find myself in that predicament, which was many a times, was drunkards, couples, and then single dudes. And groups of girls that were eating their emotions. Now,
yes.
That's both guys and girls, so I don't want to be sexist these days.
And that's a specialty shop. I'm thinking more along the lines of any sub, like a regular sub. I mean, of course, it would be Subway
Mario's
or something
like that.
Mario's
is a late night get.
It's a late night thing. It's a special
thing. Eat whatever
thing.
You want. Now,
not an average
this
sub.
This past weekend, I went to Jersey Mike's. We don't get a single dollar from them.
That'll
pay
count.
Full price. Jersey Mike's. I ordered 10 separate subs for the home where I was with the kids. And we had workers at the house, and I figured we should feed them as well. So I went on, Postmates? Postmates delivered.
What kids? You mean when you were down in Florida?
Yes. Mm-hmm. 10 Jersey Mike's subs.
Okay.
They had friends over. What is T. Oscar do? You feed them. You shower them gifts. You take care of everything.
Okay.
And I sat there and I went through the app and I ordered, Postmates brought it in a second, but Jersey Mike's made me make a decision. Do I want it Mike's way? Do I want to tailor my sub? I decided that I needed to make a stand and make my own cold cut sub.
Mario's way.
Mario loves it with double meat. Meat for some, they may feel like it's too much of an undertaking.
What is the sub? What do you like?
A cold cut sub with your traditional cold cuts.
So that's like kind of an Italian.
An Italian with double the meat, no lettuce, mustard, and salt and pepper on skinny wheat bread.
All right. See, the mustard right there. You prefer the flavor of the mustard to the mayonnaise.
I don't like the calories of the mayonnaise.
Okay. So it's the calories. But so that's your go-to usually is a cold cut sub what you like.
Yes.
Rob Spiewak.
Now, my father is a New Jersey native, and I believe the submarine sandwich was sort of came to its intellectual capacity on the Jersey Shore. They have the best sub sandwiches on the Jersey Shore.
Yes.
And I grew up eating them when I was a kid, and I never really had one that tasted right until a Jersey Mike's opened, and they did a great job of replicating that system.
Mm.
And Oscar is right to not have mayonnaise, but he's wrong to have mustard, because the way to have it is an Italian cold cut sub on white with all the bread. You need all the bread. You can't scrape out that bread. Mm. You need that. And then on that, you must have, you have your Italian meat.
Is that your go-to?
Absolutely.
Like, you love cold cuts?
Salami, pepperoni, gabagol. Wow.
Both of you are like cold cutters. That's great.
But the topping must be as this. It's lettuce, tomato, onion, oregano, and if you don't do vinegar and oil, you're doing a tremendous disservice to yourself. Because what you're doing is you're actually making a salad that sits on top of your sandwich.
No one has ever said that in their lives.
Think of it. It's Italian dressing.
This is why you get away. You justify it. You just said it's a salad within your sandwich.
It is. It's a side salad that is topping these delicious.
And isn't Mike's way basically the oil and vinegar, dressing?
I believe
the
that
salad
is
dressing
what I described was Mike's way, but you know, I would have done it anyway. And I sometimes add hot pepper relish. Sometimes, if I'm feeling
that you're kind of on the Carla side of things with the hot peppers.
But just briefly, the control room is going crazy about the salad on a piece of bread sandwich.
Yeah.
Because they're just losing it. Now,
I stand by the statement.
I've seen.
Right.
The problem with the cold cut, and I must have mentioned this before we get to Mike's favorite sub, is that it's smelly. It's smelly.
Yeah,
it is.
Yeah,
it is.
So this is
not anything you can have at work.
You don't bring it to work. You don't bring it on an airplane. Right. You don't bring it into the break room. You don't put it into your cube.
Or the bedroom.
This is something you either have to do at the restaurant or on a picnic table outside.
Or in your own home. Okay. Or in your own home. Yeah, of course.
All right, I'm going to be the outlier here when I tell you that my go-to sub is roast beef with salt and pepper and mayonnaise. And either sometimes with cheese, sometimes without. White bread or wheat bread, it doesn't really matter.
If you got cheese, what
cheese? Incredibly dull.
Be specific. Okay, that's strong. You know, that is a good sandwich, but I don't think that, even if it's on a submarine roll, that's not really considered a sub.
With that said, if we got the sub the way Oscar likes it, I would be okay with that, and I would also be okay with Rob with the lettuce. I wouldn't be with all the relish and stuff like that.
But do you believe that it's a salad on a sub?
I do not believe it is a salad. Okay. There's far too many. And by the way, the
what
oil
would
and
you
vinegar.
What would you call lettuce, tomato, and onion with a vinaigrette on top of it?
Well, I mean, if you
it's
had it
salad.
Without meat and bread and fat,
as I'm saying,
it would
it's
be a salad.
It's a salad on top of the meat and bread and fat.
Is Ms. Massiello from Buffalo on campus?
Maddie,
what's your idea of a great sub?
I like a turkey club on a really strong roll.
All right, turkey
club. How come you didn't mention specific cheese?
pepper jack cheese.
Thank you.
Snap.
Pony boy, have you ever had a sub?
I have. I like a Cuban style, like the ham and
that's
pickle,
a sandwich.
Mustard. You can get that as a sub?
They both kind of gave us sandwiches, didn't they?
Yeah.
Like a club sandwich is a great sandwich, but and a Cuban sandwich is a great sandwich, but we're talking about, like if you go to
Subway. Cuban heel is a great shoe.
Let's do a take two.
Everybody's gone to Subway. Real quick, Oscar, you go to Subway, what do you order?
I order the tuna or the cold cut or the Italian sub. Tuna or Italian?
Italian sub. You go to Subway, what do you get, Rob?
I think it's the same as the Italian, the BMT.
Yeah, same deal.
BMT, right, and then working with the lettuce,
beef,
tomato.
I get roast beef with lettuce, salt, and pepper, and mayo. Pony, you go to Subway, what do you get?
I would get a turkey and Swiss.
Okay.
Turkey and Swiss.
Fair.
And Maddie, you
thrilling.
Go to Subway.
Maddie.
You bet your ass it's not a salad.
Maddie, you go to Subway, what do you get?
I do the oven-roasted chicken.
A little chicken breast. I've done that way before. All right. Fascinating little segment.
Yes.
Put it in the time capsule. Very good stuff.
Salad.
Oh, delivers. Use the code TMOS.
I love this song. This is fantastic. Crank this up, everybody. Hey, it's time for a salad. I'm going to go down to the local Jersey Mike's and get my shredded lettuce up there. Yes, sirree. Put a lot of oil and vinegar on it. Yes, sirree, because I'm eating healthy, WAVA.
Hey, Oscar, are you ready to go to CrossFit with me?
I will be in a sec, but right now I'm updating my Mike O'Mara Show app.
Mike O'Mara Show app? What is it?
You have a mobile phone, right?
Sure.
Is it a smartphone?
You bet.
Is it an Android or iOS?
I don't know.
Well, it's easy. Is it an Apple logo or a little green robot?
I always thought it was an orange, but I guess it's an Apple.
Okay, so you have iOS.
Okay.
All you have to do is go to the App Store and type in TMOS and hit search.
But is it really worth my time?
Absolutely. It's the easiest way to listen to the Mike O'Mara Show on your phone.
Oh, that Mike O'Mara Show app. Mm. It's new and everyone's talking about it.
I updated yesterday and I love it.
I have an Android. Will it work for me?
Absolutely. Both platforms.
The new Mike O'Mara Show app. Download it and improve your life today.
We love it. Yay!
Still count as new?
No.
But it's a classic. It's a classic promo, though.
Speaking of new, have we played Rob Ford in the audio vault yet?
No, you know what? That I was unable to open that attachment.
Ah.
And I asked him to resend it to me.
Oh, there is some great sound from Ford, which heard on that promo.
Yes.
Really?
Yeah,
that's exciting.
I love it.
Welcome back to the Mike O'Mara Show. Carla truly, and you'll see this on Facebook because I think she's posted it, she loves her FabFitFun 2019 summer box. It's now on pre-sale. Treat yourself with items like Sol de Janeiro Brazilian Bum Bum Cream. Don't know what that is. Know that my wife went nuts for it. They've got just incredible stuff. All the stuff you get at a FabFitFun box is it's a seasonal subscription box, by the way. Only costs $49.99. Everything you get is full size. She loves, 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 loves this product. There are no samples of anything. Many products' individual value is more than the entire cost of the box. The 2019 Summer Box's total retail value is over $270, and you can get it for just $49.99. Carla flips out when it arrives, and in fact, on the bed when I came out to do the show today, she had all her FabFitFun stuff. She might have already taken the picture. You know, yes, Rob Spiewak, your finger's up.
Let me offer this. Julia goes crazy for this thing, and she actually said, and this is a very sobering thought, she says, when I go to school, can you mail it to me there? And I'm like, oh my God.
Yeah.
In a few months, she's going to be out of the town. But think of what a great gift that would be for a real student deal. That's away. Woo! So send it to them
good
in
call,
school. Yeah,
mm-hmm.
Real deal. Sign up for the FabFitFun. Sign up for FabFitFun today. These boxes always sell out. Use the code TMOS to get $10 off your first box. Go to FabFitFun.com to sign up and start getting the box for a life well lived. Use promo code TMOS to get $10 off your first box. That's over $200 for only $39.99. Go to FabFitFun.com. Use my code TMOS to get $10 off your first FabFitFun box. And then let us know how much you're going to love it.
News.
As we've mentioned a couple of times on the show today, Tim Conway from the Carol Burnett Show died yesterday morning. He was 85. Conway had been suffering from dementia. A lot of people wonder, I'm kind of curious in a morbid way that way, what causes somebody to check out. I didn't know that until I read this story that he had been suffering for a long time. He was unable to speak after undergoing brain surgery last September. So he's been in a bad way for quite some time. His first break came alongside Ernest Borgnine in the sitcom McHale's Navy from 1962 to 66. The two would reunite years later as the voices of Mermaid Man and Barnacle Boy on SpongeBob SquarePants. Tim was Barnacle Boy, but it was the Carol Burnett Show that made him a superstar in the 70s. Alongside Carol, Vicki Lawrence, and Harvey Korman, who had a hard time keeping a straight face when Tim was rolling. You know, you've seen all the stuff. You're getting a lot of it on social now. He could pretty much crack anybody up. He is, as I posted online, there are people that are great stand-up. The people write good material. They're great comic actors. He was just a funny, legitimately funny guy. He was great. Are we okay with connectivity, guys?
Perfect. Can I play just a brief cut from the famous dentist sketch?
Yep,
this is
absolutely
great. He's an apprentice dentist, and Harvey Korman comes in. An emergency, needs to have some work done.
Doctor, please get this tooth out of my mouth.
All right.
Now.
Let's see now. If we're going to pull her out, we'll have to have those pulley things. The pulleys and pinchy things and the little picky things. There. Pinchy, picky, pulley. See, I'll get my manual just a minute on that. Pull tooth. T. T. T-O-T-O-O. T-O-T-O-T-H. Here we are. Pull your tooth out. Boy, this is going to hurt.
That's amazing, and it's so much. We say safe home to Tim Conway, and really, it was such a privilege to be able to interview him. Mm-hmm. And when he brought the funny that day, one of the best times I've ever had. You want your heroes, your comedy heroes especially, to bring the funny.
Oh, yeah.
And he certainly did. Safe home to Tim Conway. Moving right along, everybody. Everybody wants to know who will be the next James Bond, but maybe that choice should have been made sooner.
Oh.
Because the current Bond, Daniel Craig, just injured himself running.
I just started running.
He was filming a scene in Jamaica when it happened, and now production on the 25th Bond flick is on hold. Source said, quote, he was sprinting during filming when he slipped and fell quite awkwardly. He was in quite a lot of pain and was complaining about his ankle. Craig is 51, which really isn't that old. No, it's not. Not old at all. There you go. I swear to God, I feel like everything's melting down simultaneously in the studio right now.
Really?
Can you hear me okay?
Yeah, you're fine.
You're fantastic.
Yeah.
All right. Just checking. If you were down here, you'd be having a day. Twitter. It's where evil lives. James Corden found that out recently when he revealed a Game of Thrones spoiler on his show, and some mutant called him a fat F and said, quote, seriously, I hope his kid gets cancer.
Mm. Wow.
But James handled it like a boss. He replied, quote, That is, without question, the single most upsetting thing you could ever say about me or my family. Please take a minute and think about what you just wrote and whether you want to be a person who publicly says such things. I believe you're better than that. The guy replied, quote, "It was a joke, you know, like this segment was." Trolls.
Ugh.
Ballless trolls that could have their asses kicked so easily if you were in front of them. James said, quote, "Well, I saw your hope for my son. My hope for yours is that they never get to read that their mother or father would wish cancer on any child as a joke. Because however you defend it to them, they'll never be able to understand how you could do such a thing." I'm with you, James.
Yes.
Absolutely. There are limits, but, you know, in this day and age of that veil, you know, when people try to be brave, they're cowards.
Now, how many horrible things are said to us?
Yeah, oh, I know. All the time. It's a, and it's the same type. It's a type. They're out there.
Absolutely.
They're out there, mm-hmm. You know. How you doing, Fairfax Underground? Anyway, experts recommend between 7 and 9 hours of sleep a night, but at least a third of us aren't getting that much. Here are four things that happen to your brain when you're running on less than 6 hours sleep. How many times do we have to talk about sleep? I get tired of it. That's my fault for choosing this.
No, it's fine.
But if you want, I'll give it to you.
It's my, for those of us that don't get the sleep we need to hear this.
It's true.
All right, you get distracted more easily. You're more anxious. You have a shorter fuse. you take bigger risks.
Really?
I don't know about that. And here's something that you do when you are underslept. Four things that can help you power through it are: get some sun, take breaks to stretch and move around, drink coffee, but don't overdo it, and if possible, take a 20-minute nap. That's just enough to make a difference without feeling groggy when you wake up. Sleep is important. It you is. Hear it all the
Adderall
time.
Adderall helps as well.
It does. But don't overdo it.
Yeah. Yes.
But don't overdo it. Narcotics.
Yes, siree. Better life through modern medicine, ladies and gentlemen. And now, a little something. Cops in Longwood, Florida, got a call on Sunday night about a naked man at a park.
Ooh.
And when they got there, they found a 29-year-old guy named Jordan Anderson, who was totally nude.
What?
And shooting hoops. Yeah, baby. According to the police report, when they asked him what he was doing, he said, quote, "He was working on his basketball skills, and he feels playing naked enhances his skill level." It's not clear if that was true or not, but either way, he was arrested for indecent exposure. His most accurate shooting, in case you were curious, comes from the taint. I mean the paint. I'm sorry. That's just there we go. A lot of guys running around in Florida completely and
it's
totally
hot.
Naked. Hot. Oh, it is hot down here.
Hot. Red hot, baby. Red hot,
baby. We'll take a break and come back with the audio of Alton Rob Spiewak right here on the Mike O'Meara Show.
My name is Matthew Ponyboy Bloom, and I approve this message.
In this era of fake news, who is our best, most trusted source of entertainment? Clearly not Mike O'Meara. Did you know that Mr. O'Meara voted to defund his interns? He works them for free. Disgusting.
Right.
Also, the other day, Mike didn't wish Oscar's dog happy birthday. Does Mr. O'Meara believe dogs don't deserve love on their birthdays?
I think so.
Heartless, avid golfer, Floridian. Just a few words to describe the monster behind the mic. Let Pony, a proven patriot, lead your mornings right. Sign up for the bonus show to give Pony the spotlight he rightfully deserves.
This grassroots
movement needs your support. Together, we can dethrone the host with the most medical problems. This ad was paid in part by the OFIC, Organization for Intern Compensation.
I'm still Matthew Bloom, and I still approve this message.
Welcome back to the Mike O'Meara Show. Oh, my God. I love that. That is truly special. Hey, this portion of the program brought to you by show number 2 in Las Vegas, ladies and gentlemen.
I'm taking ticket sales, Mike. I'm taking ticket sales.
Excuse me. That's great. I've made my lungs open up. Regrets. I've had a few, but then again, too few to mention. The fact is, excuse me, guys, talk amongst yourselves.
That's fine. What he's talking about is the fact that if you don't buy your tickets to Vegas, you will, Oscar. You will regret it. What do you have for me?
We have sold 100% of the tickets for Friday night. We have sold 46% of the tickets for Saturday night.
Oh, get cracking. They're going to go now. And Oscar predicted this. He knows this type of stuff. And then I guess he was just proven right. So you got to crack on these or they're going to go too. We want to see you both nights. You seldom regret what you actually do. What you regret are the things you don't do. So what if you don't go to the TMOS Live 10th anniversary party? Prepare to walk the hard, rocky road of regret. And it's a lot. Everybody's making me laugh, and all this lung butter's coming up. I'm sorry.
It's healing. It's a healing thing.
It's great for your soul.
Get him a cup.
The long, the hard, rocky road.
with the butter.
Spit on my salad.
I want celebrity spit on my salad on a sub.
I'll have a the DNA BMT.
Rocky Road of Regret. Make your plans. Just get our tickets.
Yeah, buy them.
Jesus. Get our tickets for great. Rob, right? Give it the same copy to me tomorrow. It's fine.
All right.
Mike's way.
We'll do it Mike's way.
God almighty. All right, let's open up the... I am so sorry. It's not professional.
It's fine.
I don't know what's wrong. It's just nonstop. My God, enough with that. I feel fine. But
you've got a five-year-old.
Yes.
I know.
Petri dish.
He has it, too. Let's open up the audio vault for today. Wednesday, May 15th, 2019.
Was it not the Rolling Stones who said it's only rock and roll, but I like it?
Ooh. Yeah, I remember that great song.
Well, right now, The Who is on tour, and they're playing their brand of rock and roll. And this surprised me that at Madison Square Garden, Roger Daltrey, one of the legendary rockers of all time, issues this statement from the stage.
I've got to tell you, all the ones smoking grass down the front here, I'm totally allergic to it.
All the ones smoking grass in the front row, I'm totally allergic to it.
I'm not kidding, whoever it is out there, you make me... Really, I'm allergic to that, and my voice just goes, so, you.
So if you spark a joint at a Who concert, the lead singer is going to say, F you.
Things so is changed. He being legit or is
yes.
he being funny?
No, well, he's not being funny. He was pissed.
And by the way, when you say you're allergic to pot, that quite often means you have an addiction and you don't want to get high because that'll send you back down a slippery slope. He's not probably going to break out in hives. What he's probably going to do is like get high, and he didn't want that to happen.
He claimed that it would affect his singing badly, that it would affect his throat. But I like your theory better.
It's interesting, but I mean, you'd have to kind of... do a history on Roger Daltrey and see what's happening.
One of those like Motley Crue drum kits and
spinning drum kit.
Get him above clear the air. Yeah. Get him above the crowd.
We'll do that. All right, Mike. Trouble in Boston. Boston. Yes, there are three wild turkeys. Now, when I think wild turkey, I think of a very sippable liquor. But there are three wild turkeys that are terrorizing a neighborhood. They're attacking people.
It's extremely scary. It's frightening. If you're walking, they come up extremely close.
For just a second. Yes. Does the local news ever, is there ever any effing shortage of the fat, old, scared lady? I mean, really. Is there, we got so much of that down there. And I don't know what I'm going to do. If that turkey comes into my yard, my vagina's going to fall out.
I feel like they do it on purpose
now. Oh, they do. And it's just, no, everybody's afraid. We're the most scared country in the world, but we got 3 million guns.
But Mike.
Sometimes I can't stand the local news.
She has a bewitching accent.
She fat?
I won't answer that, but yes.
All right, there you go.
It's extremely scary. It's frightening.
Scary.
You're walking, they come up extremely, extremely close to you, and they come forward as if they're going to bite you.
The one incident I had was with my mailman. I heard a lot of commotion. I looked outside, and they had him cornered across the street.
My husband has gone out maybe 4 to 5 times to sweep them away from various people.
Sweep them.
Actually fearful to just go walking on my own.
I think she's been scared to take a walk for a long time, long before there were turkeys.
Oh, God. It's crazy.
So just mind your neighborhood, Mike. Mind your neighborhood. I don't think anything could possibly go wrong with this. Burger King is now using technology that if you are caught in a traffic jam, you can use their app to order a Whopper. They will use traffic technology and triangulation to find you using GPS in the traffic jam and deliver you a hamburger on a motorcycle.
The Traffic Jam Whopper. We used real-time data to detect our potential buyers in a traffic jam to offer them a Whopper and deliver on the move, promoting our service only in high congestion zones. By leveraging traffic and drivers' real-time data, we adjusted our billboard's location.
All right, stop for a second. All right, now, is anyone thinking like I'm thinking? Okay. You're in a traffic jam.
Right.
Even with a motorcycle, even with a small motorcycle, you're still having to go, what, in between the cars
exactly.
that are jammed?
Yes. Yeah, yes. Which is not what I would describe as safe or legal.
Precisely. Or easy.
Right.
Okay, or but
on the highway, 66, it's an accident waiting to happen.
I would think so.
On Glebe Road?
Maybe.
Yeah.
Maybe.
It just
seems
to me,
That's so
I don't
bad.
Know. Look, if they're capable of doing it,
yeah.
I'm all for the technology. I'm not sure.
The problem here is that their key customer can't get out into traffic because she's scared of the turkeys. Now, here is city government really being proactive, and this is a big story in D.C. right now. They are examining the possibilities of letting civilians issue parking tickets in the city using their phone.
Yes.
It would start small. Just 10 people per ward could be trained, make sure that they're ready to go. But when they see a vehicle that's blocking a bike lane, blocking a crosswalk, blocking a fire hydrant, they would have the ability, using an app on their phone, to be able to take a picture and actually have a ticket that would be issued.
And I have to give credit to Charlie Burney, who brought this story to my attention.
Charlie Burney!
And I say I would do it if it was commission. I would do it if I could get a piece of every ticket. But otherwise, I don't
think... This is the Soviet Union. This is the state getting people, the citizenry, to spy on each other.
Why do we pay taxes?
Right?
Yes.
And this is what happens, people. By the way, those speed cameras you see that look like R2-D2s that are ahead of their time, they take up to 50% of that revenue, if not more.
Mm.
They're going to take up to 50% of their revenue from these apps that give tickets, if not more.
Mm.
Especially if there's pop-up ads on the app. You're encouraging people to rat on people.
And why would you do it? You're supposed to be up the people.
You didn't even hesitate. You'd do it if there was a commission.
It was a joke, fellas.
No, you're monster. A
it was a joke, fellas.
You're a monster.
You're a monster.
No, you're a monster.
And you know what?
Narc.
You're a narc.
Narc.
We may be monsters, but he's a frequently late monster.
How much per ticket would you want for your commission, Mr. Ratfink?
25%.
25%.
Collaborator.
Yeah, collaborator.
Collusion! Yes.
Hey, you know
it
what?
Was right. Collusion!
Stick to the rules and you're A-OK.
Rob in the movie Schindler's List is the guy that sets up the tables. That's Rob's job out there.
You might have gone a little extreme on that.
That's a little harsh.
There you go. No, you it's not. You're a monster.
I'm not a monster.
No, he's the narc on 21 Jump Street.
I am as God made me. I just saw an opportunity. It's what it is. It's a talk topic. It's all it is. It's all it is.
Talk topic. A tabletop.
A TT.
A TT. A double T. Tiger Woods is obviously having a good year, and I think he's sort of feeling his oats. At a press conference yesterday, we'll close with this. Tiger was asked, Paige Black
up in New York, where they're having the PGA Championship in May, where the PGA Tour decided to give us a major in May. Brilliant.
Where he's
brilliant,
won before. Brilliant.
Yes, where he's won before. This is a great move on the part of the PGA Tour to have another biggie right after the Masters. Brilliant move for all of us golf fans.
So Tiger's having a great year. You know who's not is John Daly, who is having chronic knee problems. So he's being allowed to use a cart for this tournament. And they asked Tiger about it.
As far as JD taking a cart, well, I walked with a broken leg, so...
And there you have it. That's your magic body ball.
All right, let me just say,
baby.
You know what? And a lot of the tour guys are saying, you know, hey, it's the PGA Championship. Yeah. If you need to be driven, it's an advantage. It's an advantage. About, there's no us, you know, way
about. How about a few less wings at Hooters and maybe you'll be amiable?
Yeah. And I like John Daly. But I mean, I think you get an unfair advantage with fatigue and with everything else. You know, he said it hurts to go downhill. I have osteoarthritis too, John, and I'm a fat.
But the problem is the pain is in his liver.
You've had two surgeries.
Yes, two surgeries. Yes. But if I'm playing in the PGA, I'd probably have to get out and walk a few blocks and do it that way. Mm-hmm. So that's it.
So you should prepare for not this year, but next year's PGA.
John Daly had a pretty interesting, did you hear the retort that he had on that?
No, what did he say?
He said this. Thank you.
Have a good Wednesday, everybody.
Cheap humor. That's JD. What you get here. On the, that's right. CH. That's it. Another one in the can. Hey, as Rob mentioned, we didn't read the copy because I couldn't do it with my lungs. Buy a ticket. That's great news, Oscar, that we're doing that well with
the second show.
And please keep it up. We'd like to sell that one out as soon as possible. And it's going to be a different show in every possible way.
Fantastic show.
Lay out everything. It's going to be a different show that we give you Saturday night.
Production costs through the roof.
Unreal. Yeah. I don't know how we're going to pull it off, but we'll do it for you.
I don't want to tip my hand about the Saturday show, all right? But two words for all of you that may be noodling it through as to whether you... first of all, you've got Las Vegas all night Saturday night.
Of course, yes.
All right, you've got it all night long. Two words, showgirls. Okay, there you go, ladies and gentlemen. I may be pursuing showgirls. Thank you very much. And I'm not talking about after the show. My wife will be there. I'm talking about... on stage. We'll take a break, and we'll see you tomorrow with a brand new show, everybody. For Oscar Santana and Rob Spivak, Michael Mayer saying so long, everybody.
Bye-bye.
Ciao, ciao.
Before you go, please make a mental note. Today's show was made possible by the TMOS bonus packages. You can secure yours right now by going to MichaelMarishow.com and clicking on the red bonus banner. Buy it or give it. Either way, you're helping out TMOS, and that's a good thing. Thank you, and go in peace.
Michael Mara, Radio Entertainment.
Oh, this is the worst looking hat I ever saw. Well, you buy a hat like this, I bet you get a free bowl of soup, huh? Oh, it looks good on you, though.
Bring me the big knife. I'm gonna cut my throat.
Oh, we're done for. We're done for. We're done diddly done for. We're done diddly doodly done diddly doodly done diddly doodly done diddly doodly.